You know, few things in life are certain. In fact, my father used to say, the only two things in life that are certain are death and taxes. And I think both of those are quite a bit self-evident. But there's an old song, and I don't know how many of you remember hearing it, but it's a country western song. But it's known, the song is, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And the first line of it says, I don't know about tomorrow. Now, you know, if we dwelt on this idea, we could really let this deeply trouble us, I believe. But think about it. We would like to know about tomorrow, wouldn't we? It seems like that's a common thing. Within the scriptures, there are a number of occasions with which we would like to have Paul Harvey give us the rest of the story. But we're going to look into the scriptures today with this idea in mind. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is God hasn't revealed all we want to know. Notice with me, if you will, the reading from Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong to our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of his law. You know, there are certain things that God has not revealed. And basically, as one old departed brother said with regard to this, that's God's end of the stick. It's God's business, not ours. And we have to be sure that we keep this in mind whenever we approach certain subjects. He revealed, though, all that we need to know. And I'm sorry, I got a little bit ahead of myself. He revealed all that we need to know. We have here 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, and I'm sure it's very familiar to most of you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Now notice, man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is nothing that God has left out that we need to know. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we're told there that God's divine power has given to us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue. Now, I want you to think about this. Do we really want to know what the future holds? I mean, really. Think about this for a minute. And consider this. We don't need to know what tomorrow holds. To be honest with you, the more I think about the idea of it, the more satisfied I become with not knowing. If I knew about some very good things that were eventually going to happen, it would become rather easy to look past some of the enjoyments that I now am able to have as a enjoyable thing for me. And if I knew beforehand some of the difficulties that awaited my future, I'm afraid that I would live each day in dread, just knowing what was going to happen. Now, I want to use as an example the Old Testament example of Ham. I think most of us know Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah, their father. But if you can, take your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 20 through 29. Genesis 9, 20 through 29. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And may God enlarge Japheth, that he may dwell in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now, to fully understand the nature of the curse of this passage, we need to take into consideration here that the blessing or the cursing of children by the patriarchs was a prophetic event. And Noah's words on this occasion did not directly apply to Shem, to Ham, or to Japheth. Rather, they were patriarchal predictions of what would become of their descendants. Now notice, as a result of the wrongdoing of Ham, a curse was pronounced on Canaan. Well, what about Canaan and his descendants then? Were they to be punished for Ham's wrongdoing? Well, no. In reality, Ham was also cursed. And you say, well, how? Well, he was being provided with information regarding future events. And he was told aforetime that things would not go well for his descendants and his son, Canaan. Eventually, they all would rebelliously depart from God and sink into the depths of idolatry and be overthrown. Now, think about this. Do you think it was pleasant for him to know this? Think about that. All his life, he knew what would become of his descendants. But what we're talking about today is certainty amidst uncertainty. And I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, please, to James chapter 4. I want to begin reading with verse 13. That's James 4, verse 13. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." There can be no doubt that our life holds a great deal of uncertainty. We cannot count on tomorrow. We all know it's not guaranteed. But if we stop the lesson right here, with such a focus on uncertainty, there is no doubt whatsoever that it would be somewhat unsettling. I don't think anybody would question that at all. And that's not my intention. So let's consider the following. Once again, we're going to go back to the song that we mentioned and look at the last verse of it. It says, "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand." Now, think about it. It acknowledges that we are uncertain about tomorrow. But one thing it does that gives us encouragement, it says, "But I am certain about who holds tomorrow. Therefore, I can be certain amidst uncertainty." And that's what this song holds out, is certainty amongst uncertainty. I'd like for you, if you would please, to turn to Revelation. We're going to be looking in chapters 4 and 5. Now, following the critics of the seven churches' critiques, I'm sorry, got to pronounce this word correctly, critiques of the seven churches of Asia. I want you to notice what is said in Revelation 4 and verse 1. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, the rest of the chapter describes the scene that appeared before John. Now, we turn our attention to Revelation 5, verses 1 through 4. This contains the symbolic visions of what was to come to pass. Now, in this presentation, the opening of the book that was presented means to break the seals and to look in the book to see and describe the symbols that were written in it. When no one came forward to open the book, John was so upset by this that it says he wept. Apparently, the promise made in chapter 4, verse 1, that he was to be shown the things which must come to pass after, would fail. But an exile and deeply concerned about the future of the churches, he was moved to tears because no one was found ready to make the disclosure. Now, we go on and we give our attention to Revelation 5, verses 5 through 10. Behold, Jesus, the Lamb, is one who is found who is indeed worthy. And it says there that he took the book. Now, the word took in Greek is in the Greek perfect tense. That means it is a completed action, the results of which still stand. An example of this would be saying, it is written. Now, what this tells us is Jesus took the book and he kept it. Now, think about this. This is why we can say, I know who holds tomorrow. In Christ Jesus, we find that there is presented to us certainty in a world of uncertainty. No doubt about it. Christ Jesus is someone that we can and someone that we must trust. If we don't put our trust in Christ, we don't have anything to trust in. He's worthy of it. He is Lord and Christ. He is our Savior. He is our mediator. He's our high priest. And yes, he is our hope. In 1 John 2 and verses 1 through 3, John there says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now think about this. How is it that we know that we know him? Well, the answer is right here. We know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Now, I want you to read on with me in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Did you get that? Taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, we give our attention now to Hebrews 2:16-18, just going down a little bit further in this context. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Now, with all these thoughts in our mind, we ask you the question, have you placed your trust and your obedience in Christ? Now, I want you to remember, tomorrow is uncertain, and today is especially significant. As Paul pointed out to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In a very real sense, this is true. Now is the only time we have for sure. And it's even probably more significant as we look at it from our current situation. We only have today for sure. Now, is this a day of salvation? Can we look at it in that regard? Well, if we are not saved, if we have not obeyed the gospel, we can't look at it as a day of salvation. It is still something that we need to do. And behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, what do you mean by salvation here? Well, we have to hear the good news. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must trust in Jesus. That means we must believe, in fact, that he is the Son of God, whom God sent because of his love for us. In John 3:16, a passage all of us probably are familiar with, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there's no reason for you to perish. All you have to do as a result of your belief is be obedient to him. Be obedient. And well, what does he require of me? Well, we must repent. Jesus is coming, and his purpose is to judge the world. Look at Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 30 with me. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. What's the command? Repent. What is repent? Repent is to change your mind, to have a different mindset, to have a different will. Repent. And here he says the reason why it's so important is, look at verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And how do we know who this is? He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. There's no doubt that that's Jesus. He is coming to judge the world. And if we don't repent and be obedient to Jesus Christ, we won't be ready. We won't be ready. But how about you? Have you made the decision to turn from your sins to the living God? But what do you do next? Well, we also understand that we must confess that Jesus is our Lord. If we want Jesus to confess us before the Father in heaven, we have to confess him before men. Look at Matthew 10 with me at verse 32. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But, now notice this, whoever denies me before men, that is, fails to confess, him will I also deny, fail to confess, before my Father who is in heaven. It's a serious matter to confess Jesus as our Lord. And indeed, it should be something we're ready to do as a result of the fact that we hear the good news and believe the good news. Change our mind, and then we're going to tell people what it is that we believe. Well, is that all there is to it? No. We also find out that we must be baptized into Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus was telling his disciples what to do when he left. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, we already saw that up there, and is baptized. Oh, we don't have that up here yet. Oh, there it is, the bottom. He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, there is a divine formula for how to be saved. But notice, Jesus included in this, he who does not believe will be condemned. Why? Because he doesn't believe the good news. He doesn't believe in Jesus. And if he doesn't believe in Jesus, he won't repent. He won't confess Jesus. And guess what? He won't be baptized. There's the answer right there. There's the answer, simple as it can be. But some people think that's all there is to it. They do all of these things, and then they go on and live their life the way they want to. Well, that's not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus, in telling his disciples what to do, went on to say in Matthew chapter 28:19-20, go make disciples of all the nations. Now listen, baptizing them, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, what are we to be taught when we're taught baptized? Then what? We're to be taught to observe all things that he commanded of the apostles. So, in a nutshell, we go through and read the New Testament, and we find in there things the apostles were commanded, things the apostles did by virtue of the commandments, and we learn what it is that God expects of you and me. Have you placed your trust and your obedience in Jesus Christ? Dear one, if you're watching today and you haven't done this, we will make arrangements for you to do it. There's no COVID virus is going to stop us from you being obedient to your Lord. It has to be a thing you do, and it has to be done. But don't wait too long. Remember, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never be. We appreciate your attention to the lesson this morning. I want to thank all of you who took the time to make a comment or make a phone call last week about the lesson that we presented last week. Believe me, this is a undertaking. No, not an undertaking, because that undertaker doesn't sound too good. But anyway, this is a project, and each week we're trying to make it better. We're going to keep on improving it. And like I said, our goal this week is to have a Bible class on Wednesday evening. We hope that we'll be able to do just that. I'm going to turn the service now over to Brother Dylan Forrest, who will lead us in the closing song.